Luke chapter number 22. Pastor sent me a text message just two or three hours ago, and I have no problem with preparing something or throwing, you know, whatever the Lord has in my heart is really what I end up sharing. And it's not something I had to quickly prepare or quickly put together. But this particularly is something I was sharing with the teenagers about a month ago or so, and I'm still stirred up about it. And so I hope that it'll encourage you and stir you up also. We're going to be turning back and forth here between the different Gospels. Over the past month or so, a couple months, I've been doing a personal study, a personal detailed study on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the characters and the events which led up to the crucifixion. And it helped me all the much more within that study about the time that I had started. My Bible class caught up to me in studying the life of Christ. And then I said, you know what? In all this studying that I'm doing of it, I can't help but want to share it for Sunday school hour also with the teenagers. And we got to talking about some of the different characters, some of the different events which took place. And I want to take you particularly here in Luke chapter 22 to the soldiers particularly and their response to the crucifixion. I was telling our young people, you know, this is a subject which, of all subjects, we should take with such seriousness. Of all subjects, we should be very much aware of. I think the reality would be, for many Christians, we know and we tell ourselves we know the events and the characters that led up to the crucifixion of Christ, and yet we believe that we know them so well that in many ways we often miss the testimony to give concerning it. We often miss the opportunity to share it. My point is the crucifixion of Christ, although it may be hard to hear and gruesome to hear about, it's so very much of the gospel in which we have today. Amen? And it must be that much more a part of our witness of Christ. In Luke chapter 22, we see the beginning here of after Jesus' arrest, and Jesus standing before the soldiers. Now, keep in mind, it was the chief priests who had initiated this arrest. The religious leaders, the pastors, the youth pastors, the other ministers, the ones who had an expectation to be living and to be setting the example were the ones who spearheaded the crucifixion of Christ, of all people. And the Bible tells us that they came to that Garden of Gethsemane, or we might call it the Mount of Olives, the arrest of Jesus, Judas leading the way, kissing Jesus, identifying him as being the man, Peter cutting off the ear of Malchus, the soldier, the soldiers then leading him off. He then first standing before the chief priest in Caiaphas, you remember the high priest, stands before him particularly, and they mock him, they accuse him. And the Bible says that within this time of his arrest, he stands before the soldiers. And the Bible says in verse number 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. The Bible tells us also in Matthew chapter 27, if you turn there with me, continuing with what the soldiers had done to Jesus at this time, Matthew chapter 27. Remember, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us of all, really, you might say, the same stories, the same characters, the same parables, all the same miracles, however, but from a different aspect, from a different writer. And so in every gospel, we can gain greater detail to different stories as opposed to others. And for some gospels, we hear details concerning characters that are not included in any of the other gospels. And so in Matthew 27, we see a further description of what the soldiers had done to Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. We know the story, but listen carefully. Think about these things. The Bible says, then in verse 27 of Matthew 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Imagine, this is Jesus Christ, Jesus, who's been on this earth for only but a small period of time. Jesus, who by this time, the soldiers themselves have seen Jesus put the ear. The Bible says the whole band of soldiers had followed Judas, to arrest Jesus. And as they followed Judas over there, they had seen Jesus take the ear of Malchus and miraculously, supernaturally place it back on the head of this man. They've seen the miracles which Jesus has done. They've heard and seen the innocency of Jesus all the way up to this time. But yet they still, the Bible says, all the soldiers of Pilate are there and they're mocking. And within their mockery, the Bible says, after Pilate had scourged him, had whipped him with that cat of nine tails, the raiment which he had been wearing from the very beginning had to an extent glued and inserted itself inside of his wounds. And the Bible says they stripped him of his raiment. The Bible says that then as they continued to mock him, they placed a scarlet robe on his back. That scarlet material was then once again gluing to those open wounds, those open sores which that cat of nine tails had so rigorously ripped him apart. The Bible says that they then put a reed in his hand, a staff you might call it, and they took a crown of thorns, and I can't help but think they very roughly placed it upon his head. And the Bible says that they bowed before him and mocked him and say, "Oh, hail, King of the Jews! You say you're really the Christ. You say you're really the King. Well, why don't you do something for yourself now? Why don't you do something miraculous now?" The Bible says they took the reed that was in his hand and they smashed that crown of thorns upon his head, digging those thorns within his skull. You say, "Why are you telling me all this, Pastor Stephen? This is very hard for me to hear." The reality of it, Christians, we need to know these things. We need to know what Christ has done for us. The Bible says they then took that scarlet robe, now the third raiment which they ripped off of him, ripping off those once open wounds, now sealed to that scarlet robe, ripping them open once again, placing his old raiment once again on him and forcing him to, with what strength he had up until they got Simon to carry the cross for him, forced him to carry his cross to Calvary. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the soldiers, and all that they've known and heard and seen up to this point, yet being so unaware, being so refusing to accept who Christ is. Turn with me now, if you would, in Matthew chapter 27 to verse 54. Matthew 27, verse 54. After Jesus has nails has been placed into his hands and into his feet, he's hung upon the cross. The Bible says they would give him vinegar mixed with gall to drink for the purpose of drawing out. That mixture was to ease the pain. And so the purpose of giving was to draw out his death, draw out the crucifixion, make it all the much worse. The Bible says that when Jesus is hanging there on the cross, Jesus at the right moment, at the prophetical time, at the time in which God the Father had allowed it to happen, he gave up the ghost, crying out, the Bible says. And the Bible says the soldiers in response to that, verse 54, and when the centurion and they, if you were looking at other passages of Scripture, you would say all they, it would say all those that were present, the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake. Back up a couple of verses. Look at verse 52. Verse 51 even. The Bible says, "Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain." Jesus has just died upon the cross from the top to the bottom. "And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." The Bible says in verse 54 that they saw the earthquake. You normally feel an earthquake. But the Bible says this earthquake was so strong that they didn't just feel it, they saw it. The Bible says they saw the earthquake and those things that were done. We can't maybe describe exactly what happened when the Bible says the graves were opened up. Everyone could debate back and forth. The reality of it is, the Bible says it happened. It happened. The Bible says that the soldiers and their response to it was that they saw it. And look at what the Bible says. They feared greatly. They're afraid. What have we done? Who we just killed? Who we just mocked? Who we just beaten? Who is this man? This can't just be a man. This must have been the Christ. That's why they say, truly, this was the Son of God. And all the people are standing around, verse 55, the women which were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto them. They're beholding what's happening. The other passages of Scripture tell us that the Jews themselves, the everyday people who are standing around, they saw what was happening. Everyone is now beholding all that is taking place. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 23, and here's where I want to bring you to. Luke chapter 23. The phrase which this passage of Scripture describes concerning the people at this time. Remember, all four Gospels, same characters, same stories, different angles, different aspects, different details given. Verse 48, the Bible says of Luke chapter 23, verse 48, and all the people, including the centurion, that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. I don't know if you mark your Bible, but I underlined and circled that phrase, they smote their breasts. After all that's taken place, the earth has quaked. Jesus cried out. Men have been mocking and screaming, and even the thief upon the cross has been mocking Christ up to this point. And the earth and the sky turns this eerie color, and as it had shaken and the graves had opened, the Bible says, there one just stopped. And they smote their breasts. They said, what have we done? You know what happened? They were all shooken up. They were all shaken up. It shook them. Oh, it stirred them up. It caused them to say, what have we done? Let me tell you, when I read this passage for the first time and studying it, it hasn't yet left my mind. Let me tell you, when we hear the things which led to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it should shake you up. It should shake you up. It should stir you up. Let me tell you, if it doesn't stir you up, then something's wrong. Because if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for the death of Jesus Christ, we would not be forgiven of our sins. We would not have the gift of everlasting life. Amen? Praise the Lord for what He's done for us and taking that punishment of death upon the cross. The Bible says that they were all shaken up after realizing the truth of who the Savior was. I want to talk to you tonight about three specific things that should shake you up. Three specific things concerning Christ that should shake you up. First of all, the condition of this earth towards unrighteous living. The condition of this earth towards unrighteous living. In Matthew chapter 27, if you want to turn there with me, Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse number 51. I read it to you just a few moments ago, but I want you to see the phrase. There's one thing that I always have to do when I'm studying the Word of God. I've got to see it. I don't just want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to know that it's there. Verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after this resurrection. The Bible says that the soldiers were physically, they were spiritually shaken to see the entire earth itself shake. And it shook even, the Bible says, the hardest things in this earth. The rocks themselves shook. This wasn't just any normal earthquake. This wasn't just any normal shaking. This was the kind of shaking that caused every man to stop who was watching the crucifixion take place and say, truly, this was the Son of God. Let me tell you, the Bible says that as Christians, we should be shaken to the condition of this earth. You see, an earthquake took place at this time, a physical shaking. And the shaking which takes place within the Christian should first begin with the people who are crying out. You see, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27 and verse 39 and verse 40, the Bible says this, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Let me tell you, there are people who are crying out in mockery to Jesus Christ. There are people who are crying out in mockery to the crucifixion of Christ. And if that doesn't shake you, if that doesn't cause you and stir you up and desire to do more for Him, then something's wrong. The Bible tells us that people are crying out. This shaking, this earth shaking, all was a connection to the people themselves who were crying out. The condition of this earth of unrighteous living. The people were so crying out in mockery. The Bible says the second thing here, the second group of people were the religious leaders. The religious leaders were crying out. The Bible says in Matthew 27 and verse 41, likewise also the chief priests mocking Him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of the Jews, let Him now come down from the cross and we will believe Him. The gradual incline of the yelling and crying out of mockery increased and began with the soldiers all the much more. You see, these false religious leaders were crying out against Christ. Boy, how many so-called preachers, so-called pastors, churches are making a mockery of Jesus Christ within God's own house. Let me tell you, the religious leaders who are crying out in mockery to Him should shake you. It should cause you to say, truly, I need to do more for Christ. Truly, in all that God has done for me, I'm shaken about this, and I need to do more. Are you shaken by the religious leaders who are crying out? By the people themselves who are crying out, the people who are unsaved and without Christ? The Bible tells us the Lord Himself cries out in Matthew 27, verse 50, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And the soldiers heard Jesus' cry just before His death. And that's what shook them. And let me tell you, are you shaken by the Lord's cry out to this world today? Are you shaken? The Lord has cried out to us. The Lord's given a command out to us even to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to tell others about Him. We are to tell others of what God has done upon the cross. Does the Lord's cry out to us shake you? It does me. Does that make me a perfect Christian and I've suddenly arrived? No. Do I still have to catch myself and say, you know what? I need to remind myself of the effects of and all that Christ has done for me. Yes, I have to do that very often, daily even. Let me tell you, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, there are things in this earth which should shake you, and the unrighteous living of the people, of the churches, the religious leaders of today, of the Lord's own cry Himself, it should shake you. Notice the second thing here. The promise of paradise offered to all people. This is what should shake you. The promise of paradise offered to all people. In Luke chapter 23, if you turn there with me, please. Luke chapter 23. The Bible tells us that the soldiers were shaken by the sight of one of the thieves accepting the gift of salvation. Let me tell you, does God's gift of salvation shake you? I mean, just His gift of salvation alone. I'm not saying forget about the crucifixion of Christ, but if we were to set even that thought aside, and the fact alone that God has given us salvation, eternal salvation, does that shake you? That means you're going to live forever. And not just forever, but forever with Christ. Amen? Does that shake you? The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 23, verse 39, and one of the malefactors which hanged railed on Him. Can you imagine being crucified upon the cross also, and yet He's joining in with the others whom are around Him? Railed on Him, saying, If Thou be the Christ, save Thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked Him, saying, Dost not Thou fear God, seeing Thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And boy, how true that is. Christ has done nothing. And He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, notice that phrase, underline it if you haven't already, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Boy, if that doesn't shake you. The soldiers were shaken. What has just happened? All these events that have led up to the death of Jesus Christ, the earthquake itself, and now we're suddenly saying, truly, this is the Son of God. Let me tell you, Jesus offers salvation to even the greatest of sinners. Hear the thief on the cross. I mean, you don't just do some small crime to end up on a cross. You don't just do some small crime to have this kind of punishment given to you. Let me tell you, the fact that Jesus offers salvation to even the greatest of sinners should shake you so much to say, you know what, I need to give the gospel more. You know what, I need to personally visit others in my neighborhood. I need to personally give the gospel to people whom I'm around. I need to make a set aside time in my life to share the gospel with others because there are people who do not know about Christ. Because the Bible says even the greatest of sinners are in need of Christ. Does it shake you to know that eternal salvation, that eternal paradise with Christ, is offered to the young, it's offered to the old, it's offered to the poor, it's offered to the rich, it's offered to the most guilty upon this earth. It's offered to all. Does that shake you? Well, I'm not a crying person. But if it doesn't stir your emotions up to read these things concerning Christ, then you haven't caught all of what God has done for you. The Bible says that He offers salvation to even the greatest of sinners, and He gives that salvation freely. Hey, this thief on the cross didn't have to do anything to receive this salvation. He acknowledged the sin. Notice what he did. We deserve the greater condemnation. He acknowledged the sin within his own heart. He believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and today, the Bible says, that instance, at that moment, he became a Christian. And boy, it should shake you as a Christian to know the effect that you can have with the gospel, sharing what God has done for you, and how instantaneously, how at that very moment, others can come to know Christ. Let me ask you, when was the last time you led someone to Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes maybe you just haven't had the full opportunity to, but have you even shared the gospel? I think that the truth of the matter would be we get so busy. We get busy with our jobs. We get busy with our schedules. We get busy with our children. We get busy with our families. And the times and the consistency that we actually give the gospel is very few and far between. We actually have to think and pause for a moment. When was the last time I did so? Some of you are self-employed. Hey, maybe an opportunity would come that you would just have to take an hour out of your work in your self-employment and say, I've got an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. Hey, what more valuable, what more shaking thing could ever possibly happen within your life than to receive a few extra dollars? Maybe you have an opportunity in your break room at work to share the gospel with somebody who's not. And you say, well, that person's so far from accepting Christ. The Bible says salvation is so freely offered to even the greatest of sinners. Does the gospel itself, the salvation, the eternal paradise, which is offered to all people, does it shake you? The Bible says He makes that salvation available, as I mentioned earlier. He makes it available through faith. You're not saving someone, God's saving them. You're simply sharing what God has done for you. Are you shaken? Notice the third thing here. Not only should we be shaken by the unrighteous living of this world today, the promise of paradise that is offered to all people, but the blood which Jesus Christ shed on the cross. In John chapter 19, of all passages of Scripture concerning the death of Jesus Christ, we only see the book of John telling us and giving us this description concerning Christ. The Bible says in verse 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. Boy, I'd underline that phrase, there came out blood, because if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, there'd be no remission of sins. Amen. The Bible said it was the blood of Jesus Christ which washes away our sins. And if that doesn't shake you, if the blood doesn't shake you, you very well may not know Jesus Christ. Because I tell you what, anyone who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, if they don't need shaken up again a second time, they were shaken up the very first time. And after that, coming to know Christ the very first time, they couldn't help but give the gospel. I wonder, maybe a shaking needs to begin within your heart once again. the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. The Bible says in John chapter 19, in verse number 30, look at what it says, John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I want you to notice that Jesus shed his blood and he did it willingly. He did it willingly. The Bible says when the soldiers reviled against him, he reviled not again. When they showed anger and frustration and mockery and beating towards him, he did nothing back to them. He shed his blood willingly. Does that shake you? The Bible says Jesus shed his blood as any other man. When the soldiers saw the blood coming out of Jesus after piercing his side, that was 100% blood, and that was 100% man who died upon that cross. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us that Jesus shed his blood for all mankind, and he received that pain upon the cross. He received that crucifixion just as any other man. And I can't help but think this is exactly what the soldiers have now have going through their minds. They're saying, in all that Jesus has gone through, he did it willingly, and he felt every bit of it. Look at John chapter 19 and verse 33. Boy, what a powerful verse. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. You know, one of the most important things that is often missed concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is that the soldiers that day and all that they did in crucifying Christ, they did not kill Jesus. Jesus willingly and allowed himself to give up the ghost. Jesus, the Bible says, at the prophetical, at the right time, he gave himself up. Jesus gave himself willingly. He chose at the right moment. Yes, the soldiers had a part in that, but Jesus chose in the right time. Does that not shake you? God did all that for you. God did all that for every person you've ever known, for every person you never will know. God's done that for this whole world. And out of love. And all the sin which we've committed and all the sin which we've inherited, the Bible says God has forgiven us of that sin, taking the punishment of that sin upon the cross. You say, "Well, I know this, Pastor Stephen, but are you shaken by it?" Because when I read this passage, I was shaken once again. And I was shaken to an extent that I had not been in quite a while. And I said, you know what? How much more necessary the gospel should be in my life. How much more necessary living for Christ should be in my life. How much more necessary telling about the blood of Jesus Christ in my testimony should be within my life. You know, the blood is often the last thing that's told. And boy, pastors mentioned this before too. Churches themselves are taking out hymns concerning the blood. Boys and girls Bible clubs, as they would be called, are not hearing about the true crucifixion of Jesus Christ because, oh, it's too gory. And meanwhile, boys and girls are playing Call of Duty back home and seeing blood splatter all over their screen. That's the reality of it. Hey, the truth of the matter is, yes, it was gruesome. Yes, we could use the word gory. But Jesus did all that for you and me. And if it wasn't for the punishment which Christ took upon himself, we still are. But we would be bound for an eternal hell. And we would still be dirty, filthy, rotten sinners. That's our condition. But does condition of this world shake you? Does the promise of paradise shake you? Does the response of churches, religious leaders today, does that cause you to think more? You know, I can't help but think, although I told you the last thing, if there's one thing that definitely shook the soldiers physically, and once again, it was the resurrection. Because you remember those soldiers who stood outside of the tomb? And this was the second earthquake in just a week's time. The earthquake took place, the angels appeared. Their appearance was so bright, the Bible says, that the men became as dead men. They were so shooken up. Does the resurrection, the fact that Christ lives today and forever will, Does that stir you up? Does it stir you up? Does it give you a desire to want to do more for Him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father,